Yeah, praise the Lord. I am really very thankful for this conference. It is really a timely word. I'm very touched and encouraged for his speaking, showing us that today we need to be on the highway of holiness, to go upward and onward to reach the goal. I have really been very encouraged also to see us, as he said, we can all make it. Amen. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 says, He who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Praise the Lord. It is he who called us, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, Amen. Right? Amen. Even before time began, as it is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, even before the world, before the foundation of the world, God has chosen us. Amen. And 2 Peter says it is according to his foreknowledge. That means he knew all about us already when he chose us. Praise the Lord. In spite of all what we are in our shortcomings and weakness, he chose us. Amen. Amen. So that means we're going to make it. Because he knew us. He handpicked us according to his foreknowledge. I'm really encouraged. And it says here, I remember this verse in Romans 11, verse 29. It says, For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. It cannot be reversed. It is irrevocable. And there's a verse also in Numbers 23, verse 19, that says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Amen. Has he said, and will he not do? Amen. Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good? Praise the Lord. He is not like us. When he makes his promises, he surely will kept. And we've seen that throughout the Bible. When he called his people out of Egypt, he brought them into the good land as he promised. Right? And it says in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, He who called you is what?
Faithful,
and he also will
do it.
Do it. Praise the Lord. So sooner or later, we will make it.
Amen.
I said sooner or later, right?
Yeah. Better sooner.
Better sooner. Yes, if not sooner, later, right? So I hope it is really sooner. Amen. Yeah, that's why Paul really has such a confidence, right? He says in Philippians 1, verse 6, Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it, when? Sooner, until the day of Jesus Christ. I really hope we will all make it at the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even Paul said that, right? That he would completely sanctify us at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and that of course requires our cooperation. We will see that later on. If we don't cooperate now, it will be later. So better we cooperate now so that it will be sooner. Amen. Yeah, and God really did everything to make it possible for us to be fully sanctified. That's why we're called saints, right? We're called saints, it's not just a title. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, we're called saints because we were sanctified in Christ Jesus, right? The word saint was used 65 times at least in the New Testament. The word Christian was just used 3 times. And usually the unbelievers called the believers Christians. But God called the believers saints 65 times.
Amen.
Right? And all the epistles, almost, Paul addressed the believers as saints, because we were sanctified. We are sanctified in Christ Jesus, right? Called to be saints. What does it mean that we are sanctified in Christ Jesus? First of all, we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We were bought with a price. Peter said that, right? First Peter said that we were not bought with silver or gold, but redeemed with his precious blood. We belong to him. We are his treasure, right? We are no longer our own. We should always have this consciousness that we have been separated. We belong to him. And that we have been not only purchased, but cleansed, washed by his precious blood. This is wonderful, especially after we heard the word last night concerning what the Lord went through to accomplish redemption. His blood is so precious. And we really should not take his blood in a loose way, right? And also, we were born again in our spirit, made to become children of God, partakers of his divine nature. My God really did everything, right? Not only cleansing us, but putting into us something holy, his very own life, his divine nature, right? We have been made partakers of his divine nature, right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, right? And then, of course, we have also been given the Holy Spirit, right? Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, right? He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us to renew us day by day. Praise the Lord. And the Holy Anointing is there to teach us and to transform us. Praise the Lord. Amen. And also, remember, we also have, as we have seen last night, Christ as our great high priest, who has been tempted in every way like us, right? And yet without sin. And he could sympathize with all our weaknesses. He's not a hard high priest just demanding us, right? But also, really, he can sympathize with us. And he is always living to make what? Intercession for us. So not only is the Spirit within us interceding for us, as we saw in Romans chapter 8, but also he is the one sitting on the throne making intercession for us. So what has God not done to make it possible for us? Amen. To make it? Amen. He's done everything. Amen. He did everything that needs to be done. Amen. He did his part, so to speak. But we also have our part. We need to cooperate. And this is actually the burden of this morning's message, right? That to be holy, we need to cooperate with the Lord. It is not something that will come automatically. Unfortunately, for the last 40, 50 years, we thought that it will come automatically. We thought we have the truth. We know life. We know the Spirit. We are in the church. We thought we are in the right church, right? And we thought holiness will just come automatically. But experience tells us that is not the case. I am really very thankful that the Lord opened our eyes to see that holiness, we need to pursue holiness. Amen. We need to cooperate with him, right? And that really touched me when we started to have fellowship concerning this matter. I really saw that after all these years, I'm still so unholy, right? And I need to pursue holiness, to practice it, to desire it, to want it, right? And already I, said to myself every day when I wake up in the morning, I would start with this prayer, Lord, make me holy. Use this day to really sanctify me. Renew my mind. When I take off my PJ, I say, Lord, I want to take off the old man. Put on my dress clothes, I say, Lord, I want to put on the new man. I want to practice, right? To pursue means we really want something badly. And we do whatever it takes to attain to it. We all know that when we were pursuing our career, right? We did everything to be able to attain to it. And this is exactly what we need to do, right? And Peter showed us that to be holy is not just something that we don't do. And like we don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't commit fraud, we don't rob the bank. That is not holiness. That is not just, it's not just that is holiness. But Peter said, holy in all your conduct, right? Oh Lord, yeah. So, he said that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, right? That we need to be holy in all our conduct. That means in everything we do, in our daily living, in our speaking, in our actions, in our reactions, everything that we do should be holy. Holy in all our conduct, right? He says the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 3, that knowing that the day of the Lord is coming, what manner of life we should have, right? In all holiness, right? In all holy conduct and godliness. So that means we have so many opportunities to practice to be holy, right? And Paul has the same attitude. Paul says he does all things. He strives to have what? A conscience that is void of offense. Now, where do I have it here? Let's read first of all let's read First Timothy chapter 4 verse 7. First Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7. He says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Yeah, chapter 4, verse 8. Yeah, so he compares exercise unto godliness as our bodily exercise. As we exercise physically, which has a little profit, we do need to exercise to keep healthy. But more importantly, we need to exercise unto godliness. Exercise to be holy. Amen. In everything that we do. And it's good. I really started to do that. Sometimes I want to say something to my wife. I have to exercise to not say it. Amen. Knowing that if I say it, something might explode. So better not say it. Or if my wife said something and I want to react or to contradict, especially concerning health things. It's Chinese, a lot of Chinese funny health concept, which I cannot understand. I would like to just say something, but it's going to cause a reaction. So I learned to exercise, not to say anything, to keep the peace. Yeah, oh Lord, we need to exercise unto godliness, right? And Paul also says in Acts chapter 23, verse 1, maybe Moses can read it for us.
Which is it?
Acts 23 and verse 1.
Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day.
Amen. Paul exercised to have a good conscience every day. It is an exercise to have a good conscience. And then chapter 24, verse 16, Paul says the same thing, right? In the next chapter. What does it say? To have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Right. He strives. That means he exercises himself. You know, to have a good conscience is not something that will come automatically. We also need to strive to have a conscience that is void of offense. And then this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 is also very good to show us Paul's attitude, how he strives to have a conscience void of offense. Verse 24, right? Let's read from verse 24 to 27. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and bring it into subjection, lest when I myself preach, I myself become disqualified." Yes, amen. This is a very healthy attitude, that we really strive like Paul does, right? Here, like in running a race to receive a prize. And in doing so, we need to be willing to be temperate in all things, to be disciplined, right? So, yeah, it takes practice. It takes diligence, right? Every day we need to redeem the time. Practice. Practice makes perfect, they say, right? In anything, you want to be an NBA star, you have to practice. Not so easy. Don't think it's just having fun playing basketball. No, you want to make it, you have to practice in everything. Amen. Why not in spiritual things? To be holy needs practice, right? And Paul says, practice with fear and trembling, right? He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because if we don't, we will miss the mark. We will lose the reward, and we won't make it sooner, but later. So, yeah, we have to have such an attitude, right? Oh, Lord. And there are some practical things concerning. First of all, as we have seen, it starts with our body. First Thessalonians, we need to present our body as a living sacrifice, as we have seen already. Our body is very important, right? And, let's just read a few verses concerning that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4. It says that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Amen. Yes, we have the responsibility to possess our body, right, as a vessel in sanctification and honor. And also one verse that I like, since we have already touched concerning the body, so I'll just quote a few more verses here concerning our body, just as a reminder. Romans 8, verse 11. This is a promise that we can always claim from the Lord for our body, right? It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Yes. Yeah, because of the fall, our body is a body of sin and death. Many times, we're not sick, but we feel sick. Right? We're not sick, but we feel tired, no energy, low energy, can't wake up in the morning, can't come on time to the meeting. But we're not sick, okay? I'm not saying that if you're sick, you should stay home and rest. All right? You're really sick, so you're weak. But many times we're not sick because this is a body of death, as it says in Romans chapter 7. We should claim this verse for our body. To be holy, to be able to serve the Lord, we need to believe that the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to our mortal body. Amen. We should claim that and serve the Lord, right? Full of life. And also in Philippians 1:20 is good. Something positive, right? It says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Yes. Let Christ be magnified in our body, in our daily living, in our speaking, the way we do things. You know, as I have mentioned before in Vancouver, when I'm asked to clean up the kitchen, I usually do it very quickly. And many times, not very thoroughly. My wife is exactly my opposite. She does things very thoroughly. So she always finds something wrong. No, I said, no, that's not good. I should exercise holiness. The Lord should be magnified in what I do with my body. So I really changed my attitude. I want to be holy in washing up, wiping the stove, right? Cleaning the countertop. I need to be holy, right? The Lord should be magnified in the things that I do with my body. This is also an exercise. This is exercising unto godliness, practicing to be holy, right? Sometimes you want to do something else, but you have to do that, so you do it quickly. It's not good, right? Learn to really, yeah, practice. So many ways and opportunities to practice holiness. That is really what the Lord showed me, that in the whole day, in our daily living, so many opportunities. Right, not to react and all that, and not to speak things that we don't have to say is also an exercise. We'll come to that, right? And of course, we need to flee youthful lust. 1 Timothy 2:21 says, flee youthful lust. You know, youthful lust is not just in the youth. It's also in the older ones, right? It's something that goes older and older with our age, and it's still there. So we need to learn to flee, to run away from it, because it is in us, right? We are still in the flesh, and we need to learn to flee youthful lust. And it says not to give provision to the flesh, Romans 13:13. Right? Don't feed your flesh. Don't give occasion to it. Avoid any, what, appearance or form of evil. Amen. Right. This is important. Sometimes evil has an appearance. You can see it from afar off. Avoid it, right? Amen. And then, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says we need to cleanse ourselves. Or 2 Corinthians 7 says we need to cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. I think these are very obvious, direct command from the Lord. Doesn't need much interpretation or explanation. And then, one very important part of our being is our mind. We need to be renewed in our mind by the Holy Spirit. Right? It says very clearly in Romans 12, verse 1, do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed in your mind. Right? You know, talking about transformation, I find it interesting that the Bible only talks about the renewing of our mind. Doesn't say your emotion has to be renewed or your will, right? Because if we are renewed in our mind, it will influence our emotion and our will to be transformed. Because the mind is the strongest part of our heart and of our soul, right? So we need to really pray every morning when we wake up. Say, Lord, renew my mind. We really need our mind to be renewed, right? And the best way is to really come to the Word and experience the washing of the water in the Word by means of all prayer and supplication. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, right? So learn to come to the Word, not just touching the letter of the Word. Many times we just want to learn interpretation. What does it mean? What does that mean? Instead of doing that, let us really take the Word as spirit and life through much prayer and supplication, and that will definitely renew our mind, right? And Ephesians 6, verse 17 says we need to put on the helmet of salvation, right? Protect our mind from all kinds of negative thoughts, doubting God, criticizing, thinking negative about the saints. So easy. The enemy shoots a lot of negative thoughts into our mind, and that affects our whole being. So learn every day, Lord, just like when you want to ride a bicycle, you put on your helmet. In North America, I know, I don't know in Europe, but in North America, because our head is very important. You can be hurt anywhere else, not a big problem. But you get a head injury, that is bad, right? So we need to put on the helmet of salvation. And we need to learn to set our mind on things above. That I still need to learn. Many times we are, after you've done your work, you watch the news, and especially nowadays, I'm watching Fox News all the time. I need to exercise self-control. I need to say, okay, enough is enough, turn it off. Think the things that are above. Amen. Think of how we can help the church to go on, how we can encourage the saints, how we can go on, reach the goal, how we can be more holy. Right? So many things we need to think about rather than what's happening with the impeachment, for example. Oh, Lord, yeah. And Paul also says in Philippians chapter 2 to learn to have the mind of Christ. Maybe we should read that. Philippians chapter 2. Yeah, let's read verse 5 first. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And let's go back. It says, verse 2, right? Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Then it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Amen. Yes. This is the mind of Christ. Not to do anything through selfish ambition or conceit, right? But also in lowliness of mind to esteem others better than ourselves. And verse 4 also says, not to look out only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. This is the mind of Christ. I'd like to have such a mind, right? Lord, I want to be like you. Right? Not just for myself, full of selfish ambition or conceit, and to really learn to esteem others. Sometimes politely we say, oh no, you're much better than me. But in our heart we say, no, I'm better than you. That is our fallen nature. Outwardly, we work to politely honor others, but inwardly we think we're better, right? I think we're all like that. And we only look out after our own interests, not the interests of others. Spiritually, we want ourselves to grow. We don't really care so much about the others reaching the goal. So the mind of Christ is so different. Let us have a desire to have the mind of Christ. Right? Oh Lord, amen. And think on positive things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We don't have much time. It just says to think. Okay, let's read it. Chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so let us learn to meditate on these wonderful things concerning our Lord, concerning the saints. Sometimes we like to think about the shortcomings of the saints, right? If the people ask you, how are the saints doing? Yeah, okay, but there's this problem, this saint, that saint. Why don't we say, praise the Lord, some of the saints are really going on, growing in the Lord, right? Think about the good things of the saints. Set our minds on these things that are good, right? Oh Lord, amen. Let's quickly go on. Time is short. And then, of course, we need to put off the old man and putting on the new man, right? Constantly. You know, we just change once a day normally. But putting off and putting on, we have to do it many times. Sometimes I said something that was out, that is really not good, caused trouble. So I said, Lord, I want to take off that old man. And I want to put on Christ. Yeah, it is really an exercise to keep putting on, putting off and putting on. And then I think the last thing I should talk about is dealing with our tongue. Right? I think James said it very clearly, right? Let's read first James chapter 3. In verse 2, what defiles us the most is our tongue. It says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Amen. Yeah. So, our tongue is important, right? It also goes on to say, verse 4, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce wind, they are turned by a very small rudder, everywhere the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So, James warns us that our tongue can defile our whole body, right? And the Lord said the same thing. It says, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man, yeah. Right? Matthew chapter 15, verse 11. And then verse 18 says the same thing. But those things which proceed out of the mouth comes from the heart, and they defile a man. Right? And the Lord says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 says, not only bad words, but also every idle word. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Yeah, sometimes we are very loose in our speaking. And we like to joke so much. That's not good. I need to repent too. Sometimes I joke too much. And it's idle words. It's not helpful for anybody. Right. So, we need to take this word seriously. Every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Oh, Lord. And then in Philippians 2, it says what? Do all things without complaining and disputing, or some translation says murmuring, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yeah. We like to complain, to murmur, right? But, yeah, we need to really stop that. Blameless, to become blameless and harmless. Not that hard after all. Just don't complain. Don't murmur. In all things, give thanks. That's the best way, right? So murmuring and complaining is not a small thing. It can defile us, right? Yeah. Oh, Lord. And then, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Right. So, we always like to talk about other people. It's a fallen human nature. So, all evil speaking shall be put away. Right. Yeah, and let no corrupt conversation come out of your mouth, Paul says. Right. So our mouth is very important, right? Especially we like to gossip. Gossip is a inborn illness in all of us. We like to gossip. And we like to listen to gossips, right? So we need to put that away. Yeah, deal with that so that we can be holy. And that needs really practice, right? One thing which I did not or failed to mention is that we need to really learn to love holiness and hate unholiness. Sometimes we just condone it and we think it's not so serious. It's just my weakness. But my attitude this time has really changed. I really see that unholiness is something that is an offense to the Lord, right? The Lord hates unholiness. And we need to see it as that. We need to really repent, right? Truly repent, not just take the blood in a loose way. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I said that. And then we forgot about it. But this time the Lord has shown me if there is unholiness in my attitude, if I said something that caused an explosion, I need to truly repent and say, Lord, I am sorry for that. I really want to change. Put it away. This is something unholy, abominable in your sight, right? And truly repent. Yes, I really don't want it to happen again. Lord, help me. Help me to overcome. We need to pursue holiness in such a way that we love it and we hate the unholiness. Don't take it as something minor, right? And the Lord is going to help us, praise the Lord, right? I'd just like to just end with one verse concerning Esau, which is Hebrews chapter 12, right? Where do I have that?
16.
Yeah, Hebrews chapter 12. Yeah. Yeah. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Profane person means someone very common. Esau was a profane person who did not treasure his birthright. And he sold it at a very cheap price. And afterwards, he was left out. He wanted to inherit the blessing, but he was rejected. And at that time, he wanted to repent. Too late. Yeah. Too late. Right? Too late. Though he sought it diligently, with tears. Let us now repent. Right? The brothers have shared that we need to repent. And now is the time for us to repent, to turn. Do not wait until the Lord comes back. That will be too late. Right? Too late. Just like the five foolish virgins. Lord, let us in. The Lord says, who are you? I don't know you. Too late. Right? So now I think the Lord is very gracious to us, speaking to us such a timely word before his soon return. He's calling us to repent. Don't be like Esau. At that time, I'm sure all the Christians would like to repent and will be repenting, but too late. So let's take this warning from the Lord, right? To repent today, to make a turn, to be on this way of this highway of holiness, to really be holy even as he is holy, to be perfected in holiness, right? Perfect holiness in the fear of God. Why in the fear of God? Because there is judgment. We will lose the reward. Right? We will not inherit the kingdom. So this is a warning, right? Repent now. Amen. Exercise, practice. Amen. Remember, it doesn't come automatically. As Sam put it very well, it doesn't fall on your lap. We need to pursue holiness. Amen. Cooperate with the Lord.